Grace and peace. Welcome to each and every one of you for Thirsty Thursday. Today, we are on it and celebrating the gift of life and joy. Hopefully, you're out there soaking in a lot of grace and life around you and bringing that to the intersections of life, to all that you meet. Today, we want to be thirsty for more of God, and we're going to find that in Luke 18, 1 through 8, this is the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Here's the word. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. There is a judge in a certain city that neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming and making these requests." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The gospel of our Lord. Amen and amen. Some good challenge there. And we'll dive into this. I think when I hear about this widow, and we know in the story of Scripture, widows were to get support. Widows were to be drawn into family, to be cared for by family systems. And we hear the story of the widow who's searching for the lost coin, an image of God, that she would come after us and find us and rejoice when we have been found. We know this widow in this story complaining to the judge, crying out for justice, that she is so dogged in her effort. She's not going to quit. She's going to keep barking as loudly as she can, as long as she can, until this unjust judge does something. So she's tenacious. And it says that a change here has taken place. The widow who shows up and clinks with the coins in the temple, giving all that she had. Again, a symbol of lavish generosity, not giving a percentage or a tithe, but saying, "I'm all in with this Lord of life." Each time there's an image of a widow, we should sit up in our chair, we should pause, we should reflect, and we shouldn't be as caught up into what was the story behind how this a woman ended up in this place, but instead, what's going on with her in that story? How is God speaking in and through her life? Why is Jesus raising up the witness of a widow? Again, when you see this story too, of course you have that judge, and it just leads off at the chapter title, an unjust judge. This judge doesn't fear God, doesn't respect people. That's said at the very beginning, and then it's repeated. The judge says it himself. I don't really care about others. I don't care about anyone. He's really only living for self, probably happy with the benefits and everything that he gets in being a judge. But here, he's brought to his knees and he says, "I'm going to grant her justice." She was desiring justice. Maybe it was to have a seat at the table. Maybe it was to be respected and honored and listened to. Maybe it was making a major institutional change, a societal change, to make sure that the justice that she needed could be experienced, which means not only her, but for those just like her. I have a feeling this woman was advocating not just for self, but for the system, for the society, in which she lived. And Jesus says, listen to the unjust judge, because the judge's response here might tell us how you've experienced God. I think we could draw a parallel here that there would have been people saying, I've cried to God day and night. We read the Psalms. I cry to God day and night, and I don't always know if I receive that justice. I don't know if I see that change. If not in my lifetime, and then in the lifetime to come after me, will I see these things happening? People may be questioning, is there God? Is there life? Is there faith? Is there hope? Is there something in this languishing, broken, painful, suffering world that we'll be able to know that God exists, that God is up to something, and that God is moving across creation again? And Jesus says that, yes, God is granting justice to those who cry. God is jumping in with the human plight. God is giving justice to those in need. And that last statement, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will people articulate faith? Will they be able to point to God of, here's what God has done. Here's what God is doing. Yes, this God of life. You talk about an evangelism text, a story of faith in the midst of question, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of crying out in prayer with lament and hope. Well, here it is right in front of us. Well, the theme that we're using in our worship series at Grace is this theme of rising strong. I see a widow who's rising strong today. And then piling down into that, we're looking at cultivating creativity and letting go of comparison. I love in the story, the woman's not comparing herself to anything. The judge isn't either. But there's a lot of letting go that's happening, but there's also a lot of creativity, right? She's being creative in her approach. The judge is letting go of how he's operated before, right? And she is letting go of so much to be standing before this judge repeatedly over and over again, but she stays after it. So a widow and an unjust judge. What's the characters that we play? What characters are we playing? Who are we? How do we cry out? What systems are we facing? What challenges are there? I think a challenge here, and in and through that you'll hear me talk about, is do not lose heart. We are not to lose heart. We got to get creative sometimes. We got to figure out new ways. And God is seen in and through that wrestling, in and through the process. Not just a quick outcome. I pray for this and tomorrow it arrives on my doorstep, like Amazon. How did that happen, right? We have a lot of working out to do in this world. Well, Brené has a thing in her writing that talks about when we wrestle with humanity, other human beings, like this widow and the judge, perhaps. We also don't want to lead just with judgment or a predecision about somebody. She writes, "What is the most generous assumption that you can make about this person's intentions or what this person is saying? What's the most generous assumption you can have about this person?" When we read the scripture story, we don't often want to look at the Pharisees or those betting down or betting their lives on their structure or their system or this unjust judge. We don't want to look at them with good or generous assumptions. We want to say, well, this is just the way that they were living. This is the way that they were stuck. And we want to do that same thing with the disciples. Oh man, how could they have missed it? Why couldn't they understand what God was up to? And we kind of chide and we maybe look down and think we have it all figured out. But people are people and people are complex, and we live within humanity, loving and serving and walking alongside. I think we do well when we lead with generous assumptions of each other versus judgments and condemnations. And we can get better at having a generous assumption of the other or the unknown. Because you see, with less judgment, there can be more creativity. With less judgment, we can be more open to how to have a relationship. With less judgment, we might just grant the request and say, let's see what happens in and through this. You know, church, it takes absolutely no imagination in this world to reduce people, to reduce things, to cut off or to cut down or dismantle. It takes no imagination, but it takes great amounts of imagination, great amounts of creativity to build up and to bless, to create new. And so we want to lean into that. We want God's imagination. We want God's hope. We want this widow's imagination of how to keep going in the midst of the hard. And I think her request before the judge is so good. She is tireless in her effort. To which I'd want to say today, church, there is no shame in begging. There is no shame in begging or asking for transformation and change. There is no shame in begging for the poor and the hungry and the hopeless in the world. There is no shame coming before God on our knees, eyes lifted, tears streaming down our face, saying, God, move. God, act. The asking is a powerful faith witness. That is really important for us to live out of. And as we do that, we need to be more honest about our expectations with each other and with God. We need to just lay it out there. We need to be truth-telling. Brené talks a lot about if you're going to rise strong, you can't live with stealth thoughts or underground thoughts that lead to, you know, toxicity and more stress and more anxiety. Just put it before each other. What is our hope? What is our dream? What is our expectation? And how do we sit together in that and maybe work toward it, finding pathways forward? The ask is really powerful. We're reminded as God's people that we're all beggars just in need of finding bread, right? We're all in need of mercy. We're all in need of forgiveness and grace, which means we're more the same than we are different. We can be more hopeful and joyful than we can be distraught. We can take our grief before God, lay it there as an offering, and say, God, work with us in the midst of our grief, letting our grief move us faithfully forward. We don't disregard it. We don't toss it off to the side. We don't let our grief or our pain go to waste. We work through that faithfully, longingly in our movement with God. We know in this world, church, when one suffers, that we all suffer. And if a widow is suffering, if someone is down on their luck, a friend, family member, whoever it is, when one is suffering, we're all suffering. This woman is yearning, I don't think just for a simple request, but what she's yearning is for wholeness, to be whole and well, for all to be whole and well. And that cry has been heard throughout the generations. Her prophetic voice is our prophetic voice. She's speaking. Just as God is speaking today, crying out for that same hope and that same wholeness for all of humanity. Don't miss it, but step into it. Don't give up or throw in the towel. Keep willing and working toward the good. Yes, our suffering pulls us down. Our silence about grief serves no one. Again, being transparent, open, and honest is good. We can't heal if we can't grieve, and we can't forgive if we can't grieve. Grief is an important part of the journey. Even if this widow sits before the judge with tears and sorrow coming from her, that would be enough. That would be the offering to say, I'm moving and willing and working and requesting, because that wholeness still matters. It will always deeply matter. And so we rise strong in and through the request by cultivating creativity, by putting on those thinking caps and putting on this mind of Christ that says there are a million ways to work through our challenges. And when God is a part of that, just watch out and see what happens. Because God, like this widow, is going to be on the move. Well, C.S. Lewis captured a thought about being brokenhearted, being one who needs to be on the knees crying out and asking for justice, of crying out with a broken heart so that we can move forward in life and forgiveness and in grace. And this quote, you'll recognize it immediately. It's one of his more popular quotes. But it's truly a revolutionary quote for how we can walk through our pain without shutting down, and how we can choose courage with our broken hearts to work toward wholeness. So here it is by C.S. Lewis. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Yes, to love is to be vulnerable. We need not compare our life with anyone, with any other individual, with any other system, community, worldview, none of it. We can choose to love with great amounts of vulnerability, because in love, there's creativity that lets go of the comparison and instead sits right where we need to be, yearning and crying out for wholeness. Folks, today, I hope you find a thirst for that, a deeper thirst. I know so many of you, in listening to your stories, this is the place in which you're living today. But hold on to hope. Keep raising your voice. Keep stepping forward. As that gospel text ended today, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, I know he's going to find it in you. And I pray that he finds it in me and in our church, where we are better together. All right, stay thirsty, my friends.